You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes, Andrew Little joined me again this week for our regular chat. We discussed the hikoi on Parliament that occurred earlier this week and the Human Rights Commission report. I began by asking Andrew his thoughts on the report.
My initial reaction is a disappointment that things are obviously as bad as they are at the leadership end of the organisation. Carl Shaw makes comments about the sort of dysfunctionality between commissioners themselves and between commissioners and the chief executive. And whenever that happens, that can't help but kind of infuse its way through to the rest of the staff there. So, and I think the Carl Shaw, the reviewer, saw the sexual harassment incident that sparked the review in the first place as symptomatic of a bigger set of problems, and which is why I specifically asked her to look at issues like workplace culture. And she's reported on that, and look, there's no question action is needed, and I've already taken advice from the Ministry of Justice and from the State Services Commission about next steps.
And David Rutherford was criticised quite heavily in the report for his style of communication. Will he be being replaced?
He's already indicated that he doesn't wish to be reappointed. I'm meeting with him tomorrow, as I'm meeting with each of the other commissioners too, so I'll be going through the situation with their appointments when I speak to them.
And the man who was found to have sexually harassed an intern and faced disciplinary action for this, is he still working for the commission?
As I understand it, yes, he is. And look, got to be careful, he's been through a process, there has been an outcome, and that might have been criticised, in fact it has been criticised, but he's still an employee, he's still entitled to his employment rights and to be treated with natural justice. So I have to say he is not a focus of my attention at this point. My focus is on what's happening with the commissioners and then what we do to assist the management, the senior management of the organisation to make the changes that are needed to make it a place that people want to work in.
So don't feel it's sending out the wrong message that he's still working for the Human Rights Commission when the woman who was harassed has since resigned?
Well, she's left, and in fact she's returned to her country, and there's no question she was treated in a totally unsatisfactory way, and what the reviewer finds is that the policies and procedures that the Commission were applying for their own internal processes were outdated and outmoded. And I, from the media reports at the time, I could see that. It stood out. I've had enough to do with, particularly with sexual harassment, grievance, complaints as an employment lawyer to know what is good process and what isn't, and theirs wasn't. But that process, they've used a process, it achieved an outcome. And he's done what he has done, and what has happened has happened. It would not be appropriate, and in fact it would be double jeopardy, to then revisit that and to either impose further sanctions or simply to reopen that. So, as I say, however unfortunate the handling of that might have been because of outdated procedures that the Commission had, the review has revealed that we now get on and make the change, and we make the changes that are going to be long-term and good for everybody.
Moving on, there was a hikoi on Parliament earlier this week over competing land claims. Can you talk about this a bit?
Yeah, this was, so some of the Tauranga Moana iwi, there's a group of iwi called the Tauranga Moana Collective, iwi collective. There's three iwi. They are in conflict with a group of 12 iwi, known as the Hauraki iwi collective, because of a number of things, but Waitangi Tribunal findings in 2004 that said that the Hauraki iwi have interests in the Tauranga Moana area, and then a settlement with the Crown that provides some redress for the Hauraki iwi in the Tauranga Moana area. So the Hauraki iwi, their area sort of goes up to about the Kaimais and what have you, and then the Tauranga Moana is kind of around the Tauranga Harbour area. And there is some small kind of crossover there, according to the Waitangi Tribunal. The Tauranga Moana iwi are saying our area is exclusive, no other iwi have an interest here, and they are opposed to provisions for redress to other iwi in their area. They had asked for, and this has been going for some time, this is not new, they had said that, look, we want to sort this out in a tikanga-based process, that's iwi to iwi. There were efforts to do that that broke down in the middle of last year, and since then nothing has happened. Now, it's got to the point where I, as Minister, I've got to be thinking not just about the Tauranga Moana iwi and their concerns, but I've got to think about Hauraki iwi, who have had an in-principle settlement for some years and cannot get through the next hurdle to get their settlement kind of brought to an end. In having observed that absolutely nothing was happening in spite of everybody saying they wanted to talk to each other, I kind of lanced the boil by giving notice that I intended to sign the deed of settlement that would allow Hauraki iwi to move to the next stage. That precipitated a reaction, not an unhealthy one, but a reaction that then also led to the hikoi in Parliament. And look, heated and dramatic as it may have been, it has kind of led to what I wanted, which is an opening of dialogue between iwi in various forms. It's not probably, it's certainly not person-to-person at the moment, but it's through intermediaries. And that's good. This is what needed to happen. So
will you still be signing the deed of settlement?
Well, I got a request 2 days ago from iwi who are talking with each other, and they said, could you push the deadline out? Because we think we can get some dialogue underway. In addition to that, my colleague Nanaia Mahuta has called for a hui to be hosted by an iwi in the bottom of the King Country, the Ngāti Hauwa, and she's hoping to get that off the ground in the next week, I think. And look, if there's dialogue happening at whatever level, I'm very pleased, but I would gauge what I do in the new deadline, which is now the 25th of May, so a week tomorrow.
Okay, well, that's quite soon. I mean, if you do sign the settlement without iwi reaching an agreement through tikanga, will you not be breaching the Treaty of Waitangi, Article 2, that guarantees their right to tikanga?
No. Well, I mean, it might guarantee their right to tikanga, but tikanga has to happen. Only iwi can you know, engage in tikanga processes. I would be breaching my obligation to Hauraki iwi, you know, right to protection, if I do nothing about the stalemate, and they have an impending settlement about which nothing is happening, just because, you know, iwi on Tauranga side say they don't agree with anything and they're not going to engage in a process. So I can't sit aside and do nothing. I will do something, and if what I do prompts others to react and then to take action, then actually, you know, I'm very pleased about that. That is what is happening. What I can't do, and I've been made it very clear to iwi, I can't, as the minister and as the Crown, sit aside and let a stalemate carry on, which is penalising at least one side of the argument, if not actually both.
And are you constrained by your target to complete settlements by 2021?
I think that's an important target, and, you know, set by successive governments. I'm still working towards that. But in the end, I'm also equally aware, you know, you can't rush things unduly, but equally, you know, you can't faff around forever while people avoid issues and avoid difficult issues, and which is what there's been too much of. So I am going to keep the pressure up, keep going. Because here's the thing, what I found in the last 6 months is I've got around talking to iwi, speaking on marae. And in fact, even like the day before the hikoi, I had kaunaitua from one of the iwi that is most concerned about what's going on, saying, you know, too many of the kaumata and kuia who have fought for settlements, fought for redress, fought for justice, are passing on before they get to see it. And I get this message time and time again, and, you know, generations saying, we've been at this for 30, 40 years, and now look, our generation, we started this, we want to finish it, but we're dying off. And it doesn't seem right to me that those who have fought so hard don't get to see the fruits of their efforts and their courage just because a current generation you know, decides to take a different tack and pays little regard to others around them. So,
did have a kaumātua interrupt your speech at Parliament, calling your stance bullshit.
Yep.
What did you make of this?
Yeah, well, he did do that. He got pretty uptight about it. I spoke to plenty of other kaumātua from the same iwi who were telling me in very soft tones, we can fix this and we wanted to work with you to fix this. Now, he had a view, and it's a view I've heard expressed from the same iwi before from other people, but in the end, I looked to the kaumātua, not just to that iwi, but so many iwi who are saying, we want to see We want to see the fruits of our efforts and our courage, and they're being denied that when things are delayed. And look, some of the delays are justified. It just takes time to overcome disagreement and to get to agreement. But there is no excuse, in my view, for doing absolutely nothing and just playing kind of standoff games, because that's not constructive for anybody, and that just leaves those long-standing injustices to fester. If not on one side, then on both sides. And it's not right for me, as a minister, as the representative of the Crown, to stand aside and let that happen. I've got to see something better than that.
Great.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little.
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.